Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Maple Leaf Foods second quarter 2015 results conference call hosted by Ms. Debbie Simpson. Please be advised that this call is being recorded. Please note that there will be a question-and-answer session following the formal remarks, and the question-and-answer session instructions will be read after the presentation. I would like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Debbie Simpson. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, Michael McCain is unable to be with us on today's call, but I am pleased to be joined by Gary McSimmitz, our Chief Operating Officer. Today's webcast will review Maple Leaf Foods' financial and operating results for the second quarter of 2015. The news release and today's webcast presentation are available at mapleleaffoods.com under the Investor section. Some of the statements made on this call may constitute forward-looking information, and future results may differ materially from what we discuss. Please refer to our 2014 annual MD&A and other information on our website for a broader description of the operations and risk factors that could affect the company's performance. I will now turn the call over to Gary.
Thank you, Debbie. Good morning, everyone. I will begin on page 2 of the presentation. So I'd start with, we are very pleased with the progress we've made this quarter. The highlights include a continued progression in our EBITDA margin, now at 6%, with a clear path forward to achieving our strategic goals. A $34 million improvement in earnings from last year, which increased adjusted operating earnings from $222 million, and an adjusted EPS of 13 cents. Closing our last legacy plant, bringing an end to our duplicative prepared meat supply network. Strong commercial momentum and volume growth in prepared meats over the prior year. And improved operating performance at our new startup plants. All in, very pleased with the progress we've made this quarter. Turning to slide 3. Slide 3 charts the financial improvement we have achieved, which is reflected by the significant EBITDA margin growth from the end of 2013. With an EBITDA margin now at 6%, up 5.3% from a year ago, and 1.3% from last quarter, the trend line is clear and strong. Our adjusted EPS was 13 cents compared to a loss of 12 a year ago. Slide 4 provides the details of the $34 million year-over-year improvement in our adjusted operating earnings, from a loss of $12 million last year at this time to $22 million of earnings this year. The first bar represents $26 million in margin improvements in our prepared meats business as we return to more normalized market conditions and realize the reduction in duplicative overhead following the closure of our legacy plants. As a reminder, last year we were faced with extraordinary market volatility as a result of the outbreak of the PED virus in the U.S. hog production. While protein markets were largely flat, we achieved a $2 million improvement compared with the second quarter year ago, shown in the second green bar. The next bar shows the $5 million improvement from higher fresh and prepared meats volume compared to last year, primarily in prepared meats. We have largely restored volumes to where they were prior to last year's price increase, something I will speak to a little later. The final bar, marked other, represents improved earnings from fresh poultry, reflecting favorable sales mix and improved operating efficiencies, which were partially offset by lower earnings in our fresh pork business. Turning to slide 5. Commercial momentum continued to strengthen in the quarter. Volume growth in prepared meats has been particularly strong versus the prior year, and we have largely restored volumes to where they were before we took the pricing action in response to high raw material costs. We are particularly pleased with the strong growth in our retail branded business. Our poultry business benefited from favorable sales mix, primarily driven by growth in our branded fresh business, as well as from cost savings initiatives. We've realized very strong momentum behind Prime Poultry, which is one of our flagship brands. We spoke last quarter about shifting from fixing the business to growing it, and we continue to look for opportunities to advance our leadership in key categories. In the quarter, for example, we introduced several new products which expanded our ethnic offering and our protein snacking line. Slide 6 outlines the path to achieving our strategic margin targets, and it's really important that I spend some time focusing on this. To reach our near-term 10% target this year, we need to achieve what we've outlined in the column on the left. Each is related to plant optimization, which is focused on our new plant in Hamilton, and all are very common to any new manufacturing startup. They include dialing in equipment performance and training, achieving overall equipment effectiveness, or OEE targets, a metric that essentially measures line speeds and utilization, optimizing our formulations on the new processing equipment to improve yields to target levels, and finally, a reduction in overhead that will come when we eliminate all of the additional activity associated with our transformation. Our plant in Hamilton is unlike any other. It is the largest prepared meats plant in Canada, and it replaced 6 of our legacy facilities. We have multiple production lines for wieners, bologna, and deli meats, including 11 slicing and packaging lines. It houses some of the newest and most advanced technology in the industry. Essentially, it is really multiple plants within a plant. We continue to make progress, but as always the case in complex startups like this one, near-term predictions are difficult. Frankly, it's rarely a straight line. Having said that, we have consistently said that we feel our strategic margin target of 10% should be a floor in our business, not a ceiling. We have all the fundamentals for that to be true. Now that we have our new network operational, those new frontiers are becoming more visible. They include increasing the utilization of our assets by finding new ways to squeeze incremental capacity of the new lines, realizing new business development opportunities to utilize this footprint. We are focusing our resources on high return opportunities beyond the ongoing steady pace of innovation. Certainly the current level of the Canadian dollar is a benefit to us in this regard. I will return to the growth story in a moment. We also see opportunities to improve our margins through better sales mix and innovation. And finally, we believe there is more opportunity for cost reduction in our SG&A, which is something the entire food industry is focused on. A focus on growth and relentlessly managing costs is why we are confident that a 10% will be a floor and not a ceiling over the next 5 years. I'd like to spend a moment discussing our growth framework as we've outlined on slide 7. Last quarter, we spoke about developing a growth path, and I would like to add some color on our process and thinking on priorities. There are many growth opportunities in the market, and as we work on identifying the most meaningful ones, our decisions will be data-driven with a look to growing in ways which offer brand relevance, higher growth segments that clearly are margin accretive, and we will do this with a clear eye towards long-term total shareholder return. We have also developed a robust sustainability platform, which we see as supporting our growth agenda. Our focus is in 4 key areas: advancing nutrition and health, our people and community involvement, treating animals well, and environmental sustainability. It is clear to us that our vision for a sustainable protein company will be a cornerstone for growth well into the future. I will now turn the call back to Debbie.
Thank you, Gary. Slide 8 provides further information on our cash flow and balance sheet. In the second quarter, we had positive free cash flow of $30 million. Cash on hand at the end of the quarter was $410 million, after investing $42 million in the purchase of 1.8 million shares under our normal course issuer bid. Our share buyback has been continuing this month, and as of yesterday, we had acquired a total of 2.7 million shares for a cumulative investment of $64 million. Our capital expenditures were $44 million in the quarter compared to $78 million last year. In the first 6 months, capital expenditures were $70 million compared to $176 million in 2014. We still expect the capital spending for the year will be in line with our estimate of around $120 million. Finally, for the quarter, we saw a decrease in our restructuring costs to $7 million from $11 million in the first quarter, $4 million of which was in cash. Our year-to-date restructuring costs are $18 million, of which $11 million was cash, and we now expect restructuring costs for the year to be in the range of $25 to $30 million. Turning to slide 9, in conclusion, we have had a good quarter where we made meaningful progress on a number of fronts. We reported significant quarter-over-quarter earnings growth, buoyed by both continued improvement in our manufacturing network and excellent commercial performance. Our volumes have largely been restored, particularly in our retail branded business. We are responsibly deploying capital as we focus on delivering our near-term financial target and developing broader growth plans. We have a clear runway to achieving our 10% EBITDA margin and then building from there. With that, we would like to open the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the phone lines. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing star 1. You may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 if you have a question. There will be a brief pause allowing you to register. Our first question is from Irene Nattel. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning, everybody. If I could please go back to slide number 6, very helpfully outlining the factors that are going to bridge the gap between 6% and 10%. But if we focus on those four factors on the left side of that slide, could you talk us through how important each one of those is in bridging that gap and when we can kind of expect them to come through in the back half of the year?
Okay, so Irene, it's Gary. Actually, they all play a role, obviously, in getting to the end state of 10%. You know, the key areas where we're focused on and that are driving the performance will be in yields, getting yield improvements on the equipment, the productivity, and finally in you know, the cost tied to overhead that are still tied to transformation, the resources we put to act on those two.
And thank you for that. And should we assume that the sort of the order in which they are presented is the relative ranking of importance of in terms of getting from 6 to 10?
Irene, I think if you look at it as the first three boxes really deliver the improvement in productivity and yield, and then the fourth box, which is the elimination or the reduction of the overhead, really follows that. So you need to nail the first three, and then the fourth follows.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. That's very helpful, Debbie. The next question, from your commentary, Debbie, it would appear that clearly your intention is to continue to buy back stock. Should we therefore assume that we should see full execution of the approved NCIB through the balance of the year?
That would certainly be our plan, Irene.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And then just finally, and again, I'd like to go back to slide number 4. The $26 million improvement in prepared meats margin, part of that is it relates to normalizing market conditions. How much of that $26 million is the normalized market conditions versus, if you will, sort of improved efficiency?
Well, last year, the biggest portion of that is well, there's two that contribute to that. It's about last year, as you would call, Irene, we had runaway costs in the pork market tied to the PED. So
yeah,
we had margin compression last year based on just the slope of the increase in the complex in our meat costs. So the improvement that you're seeing is really tied to those two things. You know, a return to more normalized margins and improvements that we've made in the elimination of duplicative overheads.
And I think
that's
just
great.
To expand on that, yes. Irene, you know, the the biggest portion of the 26 is related to the reversal of the compression in the margin and the returning to more normalized margin. And then a smaller piece of the 26 is the elimination of the duplicative overhead.
Thank you very much for that. And I'll pass it over to someone else.
Thanks, Irene.
Thank you. The following question is from Mark Petrie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Just wondering if you could talk a bit more about the retail environment. Clearly promotions have picked up following your price increases of last year and obviously the hog prices coming off so significantly. But could you just talk about the environment where you might still have some room to grow in terms of volumes or catch up? And then what you're seeing in terms of the relative level of competition from U.S. competitors as it relates to, obviously, the big move in the Canadian dollar?
Okay, great question. I'd say the answer to that is, in terms of our volume, we're very satisfied with the progression that we've made in the recovery of our volume. The impact, the shock, actually, of the pricing and the impact of that across the industry last year did translate into some what we described as, short-term volume impact. So our approach was to be patient in terms of, the volume recovery. So what we've seen in the second quarter is essentially a return to largely the volumes that we had a year ago. With your respect to your question on, the impact of the dollar, the impact of a weaker Canadian dollar for us is essentially a good thing over time. What it does is it creates opportunity for us in the U.S. We do some business in the U.S., and it also makes it much more difficult for U.S. competitors here. So what we're seeing largely is opportunity recovery to this point hasn't been driven by the FX, but FX could have impact in the future, which takes quarters. It's not, the current scenario as we've seen the dollar decline pretty rapidly recently, but improvements in volume or opportunity for volume, if that's your question, will be more long term as the market adjusts to the differences in the FX between Canada and the U.S.
And do you feel like your market share has moved dramatically from this point, a year ago?
Well, our volume recovery is we're satisfied with our level of volume recovery, and our market shares have largely recovered to where they were a year ago.
Okay. And then could you just comment on the export business? I think there was a recovery there as well into Japan, but where are you guys at with that?
Well, our margins in Japan have improved. That is a very volatile market. It is competitive. There was some dynamics in the marketplace early in the year with the U.S. port closures, but for the most part, our margins have improved, but that's a fluid dynamic. We've been in that market for many years, and we managed to a margin that we expect in our business over time.
So there's still room to improve?
Well, as I said, our margins in export are part of our structural margin here, and our approach is, and this is something we've been in for many, many years, is we manage to margins over time. So I'd say largely our margins in our pork business for export are about where we'd expect them to be.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The following question is from Derek DeLay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you guys just comment on some of the pricing comments that you made in your MD&A? Now, did you guys take some of the pricing down in more price-sensitive categories, or was it sort of across the broader product suite during the quarter?
Yeah, I think two things. Largely, the lower pork markets have been offset by FX. But for example, in the category of bacon, which is a highly promoted category, we have had to make adjustments to be reflective of the market. And that's showing in our volume recovery. So where there's been some, the pork market moves in varying degrees by cut. So for the most part, our margins have normalized to where we'd expect them to be. And we need to be responsive to markets. So in this case, in the bacon category, we've responded according to the market conditions.
Okay, and I'm assuming all of your competitors subsequently match pricing?
Yes. Yeah, that's a very highly watched category with our customers and with our competitors. So, we believe our market share and our margins reflect the fact that we're competitive in the marketplace.
Okay, great. And can you just, you know, if you can, give us an update on the plan to distribute or deploy capital? Can you just give us an update on the timeline or the sequence of things that need to happen before you look to do that?
Derek, I think what we've said is that there's no defined timeline. We're working through this. We have made some steps. So as you know, we increased our dividend, and now we have some activity around the normal course issuer bid in buying shares back, and we've bought 2.7 million shares back to date. But our job number one here is to finish the transformation work. We are looking at growth opportunities beyond that, and clearly there will be a requirement for capital for that. But beyond that, there's no defined time frame. The board is working through it at a paced, somewhat slower pace as we complete job number one and then move towards our new platform of growth.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The following question is from Michael Van Ailes. Please go ahead.
Hi there. A few things. I guess just to be clear, I guess what on the margin, I guess what you're saying is that all the market factors are back in place. So I guess if your new plants were running at the proper specs, you'd be at or 10% or above, I guess, right now, given the current market.
That's exactly spot on, Michael.
All right. When you talk about volumes being largely restored in Q2, was that throughout Q2 or is it just by the end of the second quarter? Like, did you actually realize all of the recovery on average during the quarter, or did you only hit that by the end of the quarter?
Well, there was I'd say the way to characterize that is that we got more momentum as the quarter went through. So in aggregate, where our volume for the quarter is restored, largely restored, but there was some momentum for that through the quarter.
Okay. And then in earlier calls, you've talked about the raise without antibiotics and the opportunities maybe even to get those products into the U.S. Can you talk to us a little bit about where you are with those products, both in pork and in poultry, and whether you know what kind of success you've had with those types of products, both domestically and prospects into the U.S.
Yeah, RWA or raised without antibiotics, as it's known in the U.S., are fast-growing meat segments both here and in the U.S. We have a number of RWA products in the market today, and we will be increasing these over the coming months in both Canada and the U.S.
So do you have any shipments of these products into the U.S. yet at this point?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And when did those start?
Actually, they started in the fall of last year, and we've been adding to that through this year.
Okay. Finally, can you just explain, you might have mentioned this earlier, but I missed part of it. You mentioned that fresh pork margins were down. What was the reason for that?
Largely on byproducts, the valuation of byproducts. Is there a significant part, or it can be a significant part of the total return, and the valuations on byproducts are down year over year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Ken Zaslow. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi, Ken.
So let me just make sure I understand. So the only reason that you didn't hit the 10% EBITDA margin is because of the market environment?
No.
No, not at all. The market environment's pretty flat, Ken.
I misunderstood the question before then. I must have misunderstood. What was the only reason that you missed it for?
So we didn't miss our 10%. We're progressing towards it is how I would frame it. I'm currently at 6% with 4 of a gap to close. And what we talked about in our presentation was that 4% is purely driven by the efficiencies in our new plant.
Okay. I just misunderstood the question. So will you be able to achieve the 10% EBITDA margin third or fourth quarter?
Well, there's no it's Gary. There's no change in our outlook on that is what we've said is that we expect to deliver the 10% in year, and that's still our plan.
Is it as in like a full quarter, or is it just going to be like the last month of the year and you could say that you hit the 10%? Like, how do you think about it? Like, hitting it, what does that actually mean?
Well, I think the way to characterize that, Ken, is there are, as we pointed out, I think it was on slide six, right? There's a number of factors that will drive the remaining 4% is on getting our yields, the equipment running the way it's capable of doing,
yep,
delivering the yields and meat processing. There's a lot of factors that go into meat yields, the productivity, and then ultimately the overhead and the costs that we've invested in transformation. So those come together. Those are worth the remaining 4%. We fully expect that those will contribute to the 10%. You know, startups of this complexity and magnitude are never easy to predict because it's a combination of those four things coming together. So we fully expect that we will deliver that gap in the balance of the year.
Okay, and then just continue on this. You guys are saying that you're shifting, and I think this is the quote, shifting to growing from fixing your business. At 6% EBITDA margin, I kind of think that you're still in the fixing mode. Where, unless you guys are closer to the 10% margin, it sounds like even from the comment before that your 10% margin may be a little bit at risk or not. I can't. You're kind of saying it is definitely going to be somewhere in the year, but how confident are you that you will be hitting that 10% this year, and how do you shift from growing when we're kind of still in the fixing mode?
Ken, sorry for the confusion. I think the way to look at it is it's a series of steps. So I think what we've said is job number one is to complete hitting the target of the 10%. And what we've outlined is that we expect to do that in the balance of this year. And it all lies in dialing in the efficiencies in our new plants. What we were talking about beyond that, and clearly that is the fixing, achieving job number one. What we were talking about beyond that is moving from fix to grow. But your point is absolutely correct. You got to fix before you grow. So, but you know, you have to arrive at these things in a sequence. But that does not mean that we haven't been giving some thoughts to what that growth platform looks like and how we should be approaching it.
Okay. And then just two quick questions. One is, what is the magnitude of the price declines in each of the categories?
We wouldn't share specific information by category, Ken.
Okay. I just don't have IRI data in Canada. I'm assuming it's publicly available information, no? Okay.
No.
And what is your full-year tax rate expected to be?
So there's no shift there. It's around 27%. You would have seen a bit of a bump in Q2, and that was a one-time issue around a favorable ruling that we achieved, actually, but I wouldn't expect that to be our ongoing rate. So it's pretty much as you have it modeled.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Not at all.
Thank you. This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Gary McSimmons. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, everyone. In closing, I think the appropriate perspective I have, or the perspective I have, as well as the team here, is that we are very pleased with the progress we've made this quarter. We have a clear path to what it takes to get to 10%, and to some, and as well beyond. So, thank you for your questions and for your participation. And you know what? It's a great long weekend. You know, I'd encourage everyone on the call to go buy a few packs of hot dogs and burgers and continue with us. Have a great long weekend.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.